Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So today we're diving even deeper into that sweet nectarian ocean, Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter number 15, text number 65. Atmajaya,
Atmajaya
Sutta Adinam
Anyesham
Sarvadehinam
Yat
Svaarta Kamayo Aikyam Dravya Advaitam Tat Uchyate Atma Jaya Sutta Dinam
Atma Jaya Sutta Dinam
Anyesham Sarvadehinam
Anyesham Sarvadehinam
Yatsvarta Kamayor Aikyam
Yatsvarta Kamayor Aikyam
Dravyadvaitam Taduchyate Atma Jaya Sutta Dinam
Atma Jaya Sutta Dinam
Anyesham Sarvadehinam
Anyesham Sarvadehinam
Yatsvarta Kamayor Aikyam
Yatsvarta Kamayor Aikyam
Dravyadvaitam Taduchyate Atma Jaya Sutta Dinam
Atma Jaya Sutta Dinam
Anyesham Sarvadehinam
Anyesham Sarvadehinam
Yatsvarta Kamayor Aikyam
Yatsvarta Kamayor Aikyam
Dravyadvaitam Taduchyate
Dravyadvaitam Taduchyate
Atma
of one's self
Jaya,
wife,
Sutta Adinam,
and children,
Anyesham,
of one's relatives, etc.
Sarvadehinam, of all other living entities,
Yat.
Whatever.
Svadartha Kamayo
of one's ultimate goal and benefit. Aikyam
oneness.
Dravya Advaitam
oneness of interest.
Tat Uchyate
it is called.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. When the ultimate goal and interest of oneself, one's wife, one's children, one's relatives, and all other embodied living beings is one, this is called dravyadvaita, or oneness of interest. Purport. The actual interest of all living entities, indeed the goal of life, is to return home back to Godhead. This is the interest of oneself, one's wife, one's children, one's disciples, one's friends, relatives, countrymen, and all of humanity. The Krishna consciousness movement can give directions for management by which everyone can partake in Krishna conscious activities and reach the ultimate goal, which is known as Svarta Gatim. This objective, everyone's interest, is Vishnu. But because people do not know this, nate vadu svarta gatim hi Vishnu. They are making various plans that wish to fulfill so many concocted interests in life. The Krishna consciousness movement is trying to bring everyone to the highest interest. The process may be differently named, but if the aim is one, people should follow it to achieve the ultimate goal in life. Unfortunately, people are thinking in terms of different interests, and blind leaders are misleading them. Everyone is trying to reach the goal of complete happiness materially, because people do not know what complete happiness is. They are materially diverted toward different interests. Om Agyana Timanandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gunavainama. So, on the material platform, there are so many varieties of interests. You have your interests, I have my interests. He has his interests, she has her interests. And they always clash with one another. You take a still pond, I throw my rock in the pond, you throw your rock in the pond. The little waves that come out from each rock will eventually clash with each other. That is the material world. It's impossible to have peace in this material world, because everyone thinks, I am the center. That's why we came to this world. We were thinking, I am the center. It's a place for people who think that they're the center and want to try to be the center. So it's bound to be a place of conflicting interests. The English word clash, we can see the obvious connection with the Sanskrit word klesha. Clashing, klesha. It's a word, this is klesha desh, this material world. Constantly clashing going on. So, on the spiritual platform, however, all the rocks are thrown into the same spot. I throw my rock, you throw your rock. Everyone's rock goes to the center. God, Krishna. As the Prabhupada says, the process may be differently named. You see. We don't say you have to call it Krishna consciousness. If someone wants to say, well, I prefer to call it Christ consciousness. But they come to the same standard of pure unalloyed devotion, you see, complete submission to the will of God. Then the name is not an issue, because God has unlimited name. But the actual aim has to be the same. Everyone has to come to the same exact point, complete total surrender unto the will of God, according not to one's own concocted imagination, but according to what the Lord Himself reveals in the revealed scriptures, and through bona fide acharyas, and through great Vaishnavas. So we have to understand things as they are. And then everything becomes very nice. We can have one interest, as described in this verse. Prabhupada makes it very clear, one interest, to go home back to Godhead. We stay focused on what we're trying to do in this Krishna consciousness movement, and not take up some separate interest. Prabhupada explains sometimes someone does devotional service in exchange for material power. Well, that interest of getting material power in exchange for devotional service is not the actual interest. Because no matter how powerful one becomes in this material world, you become weak eventually. The material nature will make you weak. It will take away your power. So if we have any other interest besides Krishna consciousness, even with this Krishna consciousness movement, it will cause conflict within the movement. See? So within our own movement, we all have to be very focused on that pure devotional service, going back to home, back to God. And that's what we're really here for. And everything that we're doing is for that goal. If we do everything in that mood, with that motive, then everything will be very wonderful. We'll build beautiful temples all over the world. We'll distribute books like anything. This ISKCON is actually the leading educational institution in the world. You see, not Oxford, not Cambridge, not Harvard, not Yale. This is the world's leading educational institution, because we have Prabhupada's books. You see. So we have to be very unified, very, very tight-knit cooperation, worldwide basis, very tight-knit cooperation. And then the whole world will see this is an amazing movement, this Hare Krishna movement. These people are actually qualified to lead the world. We should show that example, that we're so well organized and so cooperative amongst ourselves, that people will be amazed. What is this wonderful movement, Krishna consciousness? So they will say, yes, as Prabhupada says, the Krishna consciousness movement can give directions for management by which everyone can partake in Krishna conscious activities. So we want that by our example, that people become inspired, the whole world will become inspired to take directions from this movement. Prabhupada told us in Vrindavan, he said, if you become clean, neat, Vaishnava, nice Vaishnava, then the people will offer respect to you. And by offering you respect, they will make advancement. So, and this also reminds, in Gainesville, Prabhupada was on television. And the TV man asked him, he said, how will you know who is actually Krishna conscious? Prabhupada said, he'll be a perfect gentleman. So, this is the fact. If we can become very nicely fixed with all Vaishnava qualities, and that list is given. A very nice list is given. If we can develop and manifest all these wonderful Vaishnava qualities, then the whole world will yad-yad-yashrati-shrestas. They will want to follow, you see. Whatever the great man goes, the common people follow. So this development of character, of Vaishnava character, is such an important principle. Because this will bring about the desired result of each and every one of us going back to Godhead and attracting the whole world to take up this process of Krishna consciousness. So that this one interest can actually become a global phenomenon, you see. That's our goal. We want to make one interest throughout the entire planet. Everyone wants to become Krishna conscious. This, as Prabhupada says, the happy days of Bhagavad Dharma, you see. This will bring the happy days of Bhagavad Dharma throughout the entire world. And it's predicted, actually. There'll be a 10,000 year period. It actually began 500 years ago, 1486, a little over 500 years ago. During this 10,000 year period, the entire world will become flooded, over-flooded with this movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This tsunami is emanating from Mayapur Dham. This tsunami of Krishna prema is emanating from Mayapur Dham, inundating the entire planet. So, it's a glorious future that this movement will have. And Prabhupada predicted it will go down in history for having saved the world in its darkest hour. So many people, they say, well, there's so many things wrong with this movement, I can't be a part of it. But that's foolishness. Completely foolish thing. Mm-hmm. If there's something going wrong, well, let's work together and straighten it out. What's the problem? If you're navigating across the ocean and you get a little bit off track, you just take another reading and you just get back on track again. What's the problem? They say, no, we just have to jump off the ship into the ocean. You know, the ship has gone a little bit off track, so we're just going to jump into the ocean. Is that a very intelligent proposition? I'm just going to swim for it. I'm not going to stay on that ship. Good luck. The sharks are out there waiting. What's the problem? If you're navigating across the ocean and you get a little bit off track, you just take another reading and just get back on track again. What's the problem? They say, no, we just have to jump off the ship into the ocean. You know, the ship has gone a little bit off track, so we're just going to jump into the ocean. Is that a very intelligent proposition? I'm just going to swim for it. I'm not going to stay on that ship. Good luck. The sharks are out there waiting. Illicit sex life, meeting, intoxication again. I mean, they will gobble you up. If you give up the association of the devotees, you see, that's what happens. They become karmis. So even if the ship is a little off track, then we just take another meeting. You know, the next Mayapur meeting, we take another, get sextoned out, take another, get our bearings, and get back on track. So this way, you see. Prabhupada gave a perfect system. This movement will flourish for 10,000 years, in spite of our bumbling selves, because Prabhupada has given us everything. He's given us so much mercy. Everything will become successful in due course of time. We simply have to be patient. Patience is one of the required items, actually, in devotional service. If one is not patient, then it means you're too passionate. Passion is good when it's controlled by, you know, to have passion is good, but it has to be controlled passion by knowledge. You have to keep that passionate enthusiasm going, and even when the results are not there immediately. You see, that's intelligent. Enthusiasm and patience. Of course, if you have patience but no enthusiasm, that's the mode of ignorance. I'm very, very patient. If you have enthusiasm, you don't have any patience. That's the mode of passion. If you have enthusiasm and patience, then that's the mode of goodness. So both are very important. You have to be very, very enthusiastic, and at the same time be patient. In spite of all our enthusiastic service, the result still didn't come as soon as we wanted it to come. And we still have to go on enthusiastically. You see, I was out on book distribution and I was enthusiastically approaching the people and no one took a book, and now I've lost my enthusiasm. No. You have to be patient. You have to keep on manifesting that enthusiasm with or without the results, because that is my duty. Actually, Prabhupada gave me that duty. It has helped me over many long years of 34 years of devotional service. The Prabhupada gave me, he ordered me to be enthusiastic. It's a great blessing. Somehow or other, I was initiated from by letter. Prabhupada was in London and I was in Texas. So Vishnujan Swami had recommended me, in spite of my numerous disqualifications. This boy, Steve, he's doing nice service. I was amazed when Prabhupada said that the Vishnujana is a poor, that you're doing nice service. I was thinking, Vishnujana is really being kind by telling Prabhupada I was serving nicely in the temple. So, Prabhupada, anyway, I had to, since it was initiated by mail, then I had to mail in my Guru Dakshin instead of just, you know, handing it to Prabhupada. So I got to write a letter along with my Guru Dakshin. Get a chance to write my first letter to Srila Prabhupada. And because I was a Vishnujan, and Vishnujan Swami, and he was so fired up for spreading this movement, you know, he was so enthusiastic for spreading Krishna consciousness. So I told Prabhupada, I'd like to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. And Prabhupada really picked up on that. He said, I can see you're a very sincere, enthusiastic boy, eager for spreading this movement. He said, now continue instead of just, you know, handing it to Prabhupada. So I got to write a letter along with my Guru Dakshin. Get a chance to write my first letter to Srila Prabhupada. And because I was a Vishnujan, and Vishnujan Swami, and he was so fired up for spreading this movement, you know, he was so enthusiastic for spreading Krishna consciousness. So I told Prabhupada, I'd like to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. And Prabhupada really picked up on that. He said, I can see you're a very sincere, enthusiastic boy, eager for spreading this movement. He said, now continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. So in all through all the ups and downs that we've seen in our society, I always had that order to all of it from Prabhupada directly to me. Continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. And it's a fact. Prabhupada blessed me that Krishna would bless me if I kept my enthusiasm. And, you know, so I've always done that. Enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. So in all through all the ups and downs that we've seen in our society, I always had that order to all of it from Prabhupada directly to me. Continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. And it's a fact. Prabhupada blessed me that Krishna would bless me if I kept my enthusiasm. And, you know, so I've always done that. Whether there was any reason to be, sometimes it didn't appear there was any reason to be very enthusiastic externally, but it didn't matter because Prabhupada told me, continue enthusiastically. So, this is the potency of the spiritual master's order. If we just hold on to it, nicely Prabhupada told us in this way. He said that he had read that commentary by Vishwanath, by Baladeva Vidyabhushana. Yeah. That one should take the order of one's spiritual master as one's very life and soul. So it's actually a fact. If you hold on to the order given by the spiritual master, as you're just like you've fallen off the edge of a cliff, and on the way over you just happen to grab a hold of a branch. Now how tightly will you hold on to that branch, you see? You kind of casually hold on to that branch. No. Tightly. Your life is dependent on how tightly you hold on to that branch. So that's how much the disciple holds on to the order given by the spiritual master. Life or death. If you let go, you're finished. You fall down to the rocks below, you're smashed on the rocks below. If you hold on to that order for dear life, then you're picked up from this material world. By the mercy of Guru, Krishna, Vaishnavas, we're picked up and we're taken into that sweet transcendental atmosphere, Vaikuntha atmosphere, Krishna consciousness. So it is not a difficult process. Prabhupada taught us, it's actually a very simple thing. As we've been explaining, you simply remember that Krishna is taste of the water. He is the taste of the water. Every time you drink water, Prabhupada told us, if you simply remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, then immediately you become Krishna conscious. Not difficult, you see. And then he quoted, Prabhashmi Shushushuryayo, I'm the light of the sun and the moon. So this room, there's some artificial light here, but even that is an indirect manifestation of the energy of the sun. But then we have the natural light coming in also in this room. So actually this is Krishna. We are seeing Krishna. The illumination that allows us to see each other, that illuminating power is Krishna. So Prabhupada said, you told us at the Ratha Yatra in 71 in San Francisco, that you have all seen God because He is the light of the sun and the moon. So we're actually seeing God. So we just simply have to increase the depth of that seeing of God. We're all experiencing God, actually. You simply have to go deeper and deeper into that. And that the access, that the system of going deeper and deeper into that is bhakti. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santhasa daiva hridayeshu valokyanti yam shama shundaram achinchyadunasvarupam govindam. So we just simply have to increase the depth of that seeing of God. We're all experiencing God, actually. You simply have to go deeper and deeper into that. And that the access, that the system of going deeper and deeper into that is bhakti. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santhasa daiva hridayeshu valokyanti yam shama shundaram achinchyabana svarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. We simply have to find that drug shop where they sell the premlanjana. Where is that drugs? I don't know what they call it here. In America, we call them drugstores. They call them chemist. Chemist? Yeah, we have to find that chemist who is selling that premanjana. Of course, that is Prabhupada. Actually, Prabhupada had a pharmacy. It's a health soda. So he is the pharmacist who is giving this description for premanjana, that ointment. So how do we apply that ointment? It's a very unique, normally you take the ointment and directly put it on your eyes. But this ointment comes in through the ear. This is a very unique ointment, this premanjana. This love ointment, love of God ointment. It is taken in through the ears. Wake up. It is taken in through the ears by hearing nicely. From Guru, from Vaishnavas, you see. By hearing very, very nicely, enthusiastically hearing. You see. Even if we're sleepy, we, you know, try to shake it off. Shake off that tamagun. You can always take a nap later after class, you know, no problem. But now, shake it off. This is a chance. It's a chance to get that premanjana. Hearing nicely the Krishna Gita, you see. Much chitta madgita pranam bhuliyanta parasparam gita yantap nirmanyanta shanta charamanti. They enjoy like anything, ramanti. It is enjoyment. That premanjana, the more you get that premanjana, the more you can see Krishna everywhere and within everything. The realized devotee can actually see Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna. Everywhere he goes, he sees Krishna within that thing and that thing within Krishna. Just imagine, wherever you go, you're seeing Krishna. You're never separated from Krishna for a minute. So by hearing very nicely the words of Krishna, you see, this is the secret of success. Prabhupada told us this was his secret. He said, because I heard nicely, now I can speak nicely. I mean, everyone would like to be able to speak nicely about Krishna, so that it attracts people. I think all devotees have that desire. I would like to be able to speak nicely so that I can tell someone about Krishna and they'll become attracted. I can make a devotee. I can get a book out. Everybody has that desire to be able to speak nicely about Krishna. I think everyone here would like, we have a common interest. We would all like to be able to speak nicely about Krishna. Not someone who's just totally shy, but gradually they'll come out of it. Everyone would like to be able to speak potently about Krishna. So Prabhupada says that by hearing nicely, then you can speak nicely. And he gave his own example that Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he would speak in very, very advanced English. The materialistic Dhammanar cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat, etc., etc., etc. So Prabhupada told that they were in Vrindavan, and it's the evening time, and those of you who have been in Vrindavan, you know the nightlife of Vrindavan. Here in Brisbane, nightlife means bar hopping, you see. But in Vrindavan, it's temple hopping. You go here for darshan, there for darshan, you see. That's the nightlife in Vrindavan. So it was the evening time for the darshan hopping. This temple, that temple, darshan, 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 you see. So most of the followers of Bhakti Siddhanta, they were all going out darshan. Only a small handful were sitting there listening to Bhakti Siddhanta's big, big, sophisticated English. So Prabhupada said, I would understand, or I would not understand, but I would go on hearing. And actually Bhakti Siddhanta noticed this Abhay Charan. He said, this boy is very nicely. Yes, I will accept him as my disciple. So this, to cultivate the art of being, you know, expert here is a very, very important thing in our advancement in Krishna consciousness. How to hear very nicely, you know, when the devotees are speaking, have to really learn how to focus and hear. That will enable one to advance very nicely in Krishna consciousness. Become very fixed up devotee, very rapidly actually. Just by good hearing, everything will come. So that we can achieve that one interest of all going back to Godhead and taking as many as possible of the fallen conditioned souls with us at the same time. This is our mission. So, we're very, this is my farewell lecture. And I'm very, very grateful to, my wife and I both are very grateful for the wonderful hospitality that you all have given us. Your kindness of your hearts, you open your hearts to us very nicely. So any offenses we've committed, kindly forgive us. We've been offensive in any way to you all. We strive to be your pure servants. And if there's any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them. Yes, Prabhu.
The question is, this chapter is called Instructions for Civilized Human Beings.
Yes.
So is it
that it's meant... my hearing is pretty clogged up right now. Speak
is
loudly.
Is it that this chapter is meant for people who are already civilized, or is it meant for creating civilized people?
So, it's an interesting title he's pointing out, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. Well, one could say, well, that means it's not really for the modern day society because they're not civilized and they're just a bunch of barbarians, so it doesn't really apply to them. Well, if you really want to get strict about it, it doesn't apply to us either because, you know, how civilized are we in terms of the actual Vedic culture? We're still... As Prabhupada said, my disciples are like coal. No matter how much you wash them, they're still dirty. Well, we know because Prabhupada told us to distribute these books to everyone. We know that these instructions are actually for everyone. We know that these instructions are actually to make all the uncivilized human beings into civilized human beings. That's a fact. These instructions are for the uncivilized, how to become civilized. So in that sense, the title is giving credit. Yes, come, hear these instructions for civilized human beings, even though now you're uncivilized. If you will come and hear these instructions for civilized human beings, by hearing these instructions, you will become a civilized human being. That, we can take it in that way. Questions, more? Yes.
Where does the prediction about the 10,000 years of Krishna consciousness within the Kali Yuga come from? And
where does it come from?
Yeah,
it's written in the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Okay.
I can give you a specific point in Prabhupada's books. If you, after class, I can look it up. I have it bookmarked in my database in my laptop. I can show you the exact place right in Prabhupada's books in the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Okay. What does it mean? Does it mean that the Kali Yuga will stop for 10,000 years and there'll be a Satya Yuga? Or does it mean that while Kali Yuga's going on, there'll be Krishna consciousness spreading all over the world during the Kali Yuga?
It'll be a virtual... Now there's a term in America, I don't know if it's used here, but it's what's called an Indian summer. A term in North America. I don't know if they use it here in Australia. But sometimes in the middle of the winter there'll be a brief period of summer, well, just an unseasonable summer season will manifest in the winter. It's called an Indian summer. So it's like that. It's like a virtual Satya Yuga right in the middle of Kali Yuga will happen. Will gradually emerge. That's what it'll be like. When Kali just you know, Kali Yuga just takes a goes into hiding, or my conception is this, that the Maharaj Prakrit failure, but sometimes in the middle of the winter there'll be a brief period of summer, well, just an unseasonable summer season will manifest in the winter. It's called an Indian summer. So it's like that. It's like a, you know, a virtual Satya Yuga right in the middle of Kali Yuga will happen. Will gradually emerge. That's what it'll be like. When Kali just, you know, Kali Yuga just takes a goes into hiding, or my conception is this, that the Maharaj Prakrit gave Kali some places of residence. But in Lord Chaitanya's movement, we don't give him any place of residence. Sorry, Kali. You know, you have to just shave up. Mm-hmm. Back to Kali. But Kali has, the personality of Kali has to become, has to join the Hare Krishna movement. That's my vision of Kali's. I mean, we want to go everywhere and inspect Krishna consciousness. Not that we're going to leave some place that they don't have to become Krishna conscious. So it will be a very wonderful time. And as Prabhupada, actually Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, when the high court judges were tilak. So just imagine when the high court judges in every country throughout the whole world are wearing Vaishnava tilak. That's the golden era, Chaitanya, fully manifest. So when will it happen? Well, it's up to us. Really, it's up to us. It may be many generations from now. The more that we manifest spiritual purity, and the more we work hard to spread this movement, you see, that will make it happen faster. So, if you want to see it happen, just really strive on being a pure devotee and spreading pure devotional service to everybody you possibly can. With all your energy, up until your last dying breath, just keep pushing for this movement in every possible way you can. Take up the mood of a spiritual revolutionary, you see. You see, this is about, the more we take up this spiritual revolutionary mood, you see, then that day will come sooner. And it's possible. Prabhupada said, if you will simply cooperate with me, in 18 days we can make the whole world Krishna conscious. So it's actually possible. And we could, in 18 days, we can capture the whole world. You see? So we just have to become very intense in our desire to be pure, and that every thought, word, and deed will be for spreading Krishna consciousness to all of conditioned souls. Question? You had the, someone else had a question? Question.
You said you're departing. How long till you come back?
Well, it may be next year. We're based in the U.S., but we started doing this internet preaching, and we got so many contacts all over the world that now we have to service people that are inspired by our internet preaching. So basically, we have about three tours. We do a European tour, and then we do a North American tour, and now it looks like we're starting a world tour. So, so Australia is part of our world tour, so we'll probably happen after Kartik again next year. About a year from now is what would be the best guess. In 1 year. Questions, Mark? Yes.
Is the death penalty a form of liberation for the person who's committed sinful karmas? And will that person, say, get liberated from those karmas in his next life?
So, the death penalty, according to the Manu Samhita, the system is the king should give capital punishment to a murderer because he has murdered someone, he has to be murdered. That's his reaction, karmic reaction. So by giving him capital punishment, he's finishing up the reaction, he's burning off the reaction to the act of murder. Now he can start off in his next lifetime in a much better position. The so-called merciful, you know, Kali Yuga governments who give life sentence, they're simply punished, making his situation more and more miserable. He has to live his entire life with the death penalty, which he is going to get, hanging over his head. He dies a natural death. That means he has to be put to death in his next life by murder or by capital punishment, by being murdered by the person he murdered, his next life. So actually it's a very good system, capital punishment. The trouble is, if the government is corrupt, they may, you know, they may execute someone who wasn't actually guilty. But if you have a good, you have an enlightened government like Maharaj Pariksit, empowered government by Krishna, you see, they can do perfect justice in every case. And such criminals who are punished by capital punishment is very good for them. It frees them from the karma of killing that person. Questions more? Yes.
If a person commits a murder or a rape or a serious crime, but they're unaware of principles like Krishna consciousness, do they suffer as much as a person who is aware of karma and consequences?
So as a murderer or a rapist or such a person who wasn't aware of the law of karma, is he going to be punished equally as well as someone who knows the law of karma?
Yeah.
These subtle things are difficult to say, as confirmed by the Bhagavad Gita itself. The intricacies of action are very difficult to understand, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. There's many different factors that come into play. But that is one factor. The one who sins knowingly does suffer worse than one who sins unknowingly. But it doesn't mean that the one who sinned unknowingly doesn't get a reaction. You see, anyone who commits rape, murder, they suffer a very serious reaction. One who does it knowingly, they suffer even a more severe reaction. There's no such thing as, well, I didn't know, Yamaraj.
I'm just thinking of a crime of passion. You know, if a person reacts, someone's assaulted their wife, or, you know, they've acted spontaneously rather than premeditated.
Well, there are aggressors that can be killed and without sin, mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita purport, severe reaction. There's no such thing as, well, I didn't know, Yamaraj.
I'm just thinking of a crime of passion. You know, if a person reacts, someone's assaulted their wife, or, you know, they've acted spontaneously rather than premeditated.
Well, there are aggressors that can be killed and without sin, mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita purport. if you're defending yourself, you have a right to defend yourself. If someone comes to kill you, you can kill them to defend yourself. There's no karma for that. I didn't hear it directly from Prabhupada, but we heard that Prabhupada said, if somebody is coming to kill me, do you think I'm a fool? I will stand over the door with a brick. And actually, there was one time in our movement, you may have heard, in New Vrindavan, they came with guns and they shot. They now in the Abhaycharan DVDs, they included that segment. I remember when it happened, it was very heavy. They came with guns. A bunch of rednecks came to New Vrindavan. They blooded up a few devotees with bullet wounds, and they smashed the deities. And they took Kirtananda Swami up on a hill to dig his grave, his own grave. They were going to murder him. But when they smashed Radharani, it created this the most eerie sound vibration. It scared, when they smashed Radharani, the deity of Radharani, Radharani emitted this most eerie sound vibration. It frightened all the, it frightened them, and they all ran and left the scene. And after that, we got one letter. Prabhupada had said, "You give me a gun in one hand and a bead bag in the other hand, and I will protect you." So sometimes we have to, you know, take strong position. Then right after that, we were in Miami Temple. We were robbed, actually. We had an armed robbery during Milk Prasadam. It's an interesting evening. They came in and we actually fired the gun at them and missed. So devotees can protect themselves. If someone comes to assault, you can protect yourself. Not that we have to artificially be nonviolent. Oh yes, let them smash the deities, let them kill some devotees. No. The demons come, we have every right in the world to protect the devotees and protect the deities. It's our duty to protect them. Yes.
Prabhu, if you're in a United Nation and you were asked your one common interest, what would you name it?
If I was in the United Nations
and you were asked one common interest.
And I was asked explain to the assembled delegates what should be the one common interest. Well, I would ask for at least 5 minutes. I wouldn't just give one word or two or three words. I mean, I would ask for a whole hour to give them a complete, thorough explanation. But I would explain to them that, of course, there are atheists there also. You see. I would explain to them, we all come from the same place. We all come from a common origin. You see. Whether you're a scientist, an atheistic scientist, or you're a theologian, actually everyone believes that agrees that we all come from one common origin. The scientists saying, the universe has an origin, and the different scientists speculated in different ways. But everyone admits, the atheists, the theists, everyone can agree we all come from one original source. So we have to find out what is that one original source, and we have to live in harmony. I would explain to them, the world is in disharmony right now because we are not not synchronized, we're not living in harmony with that original source from which we have all come. So the one common interest for everyone is to see how we can get back in harmony with that original source. See? And I would go deeper, that's how I begin, and then I would go deeper. I don't want to take, I know we have a program, I could go on for another 20 minutes, but I don't want to lengthen the class unnecessarily. But, through logic, actually, you can understand that original source has to have a personality. You see? And why that original person is emanating all of these persons from himself is for the, we want to have loving relationships with them. So ultimately, we're all meant to love that source, that original person, the Supreme Person. That's why we exist. So whether we call him Allah, Jehovah, Krishna, that's, God has unlimited names. But that is the common interest, to develop love, to reestablish a pure loving relationship of selfless service to the Supreme Person. And that is the common interest of every single living entity throughout the universe. Unless the United Nations can actually promote this concept, the United Nations will be a failure. It's been a failure ever since it started. It will continue remaining a failure. It was supposed to stop war, and the wars are still going on. So, I think we're going way over time now, so we'll stop here. We thank you all very much for your participation in this wonderful Krishna consciousness movement. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON Brisbane Vaishnavas down under ki jai.
On behalf of the devotees, we'd like to thank Vishal Prabhu for his visit, and we hope that it's the start of many new ones to come.